Hello and welcome to the Consumer Goods Forum End-to-End Value Chain podcast. My name is Joelle Nguya Leclerc and I work in the communications team. In this podcast series, we'll be hearing industry insights from experts working towards collaborative solutions that benefit the entire value chain. Sunil Rao is joining us from San Francisco today to share his thoughts on logistics and supply chain innovation, which is a hot topic in our pillar. And Sunil is Global Head of Consumer Goods Go-To-Market at Salesforce, so he'll definitely have some great insights to share. And also, Sunil has contributed an E2E blog on how consumer goods and retail can align to put consumers first, which I really encourage you to read if you haven't checked it out yet. It's on our website, so head over and have a look. Good morning, Sunil. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Joelle.
Great. So, Sunil, the topic that we've got to talk about today is really excellent. And typically, warehouse spaces and inventories and transport, etc., are what first spring to mind when we think about logistics and supply chain. And I look very forward to hearing about how technology and innovation feeds into this. So, Sunil, to get us started, can you tell us what technologies are going to start disrupting the way supply chains are optimized?
I think the crux of what is happening in this space is being driven by an introduction of new technologies that are changing the way that we're approaching how products are essentially manufactured and ultimately delivered to customers and consumers. So if you put that lens on it, historically, companies have looked at the first, middle, and last mile when we talk about delivery, when we talk about distribution. And the technologies that are coming into play today, if you look at these three buckets, you can see them manifesting themselves in different ways in each one of these buckets, right? So if you look at last mile, if you think about image recognition and how far it's come along in the last decade, and you think about Amazon Go, what you're able to do within a store, you know, that's one area where the ability to use image recognition technology to track what consumers are buying, it fixes that problem of consumers coming and buying from store. Then you've got kind of the middle tier where you're distributing still through distributors, or you're going through retailers that are then distributing to their stores ultimately down the line. And the technologies that we're seeing come into place here are getting better at forecasting, getting better at figuring out what needs to be sent where, because we have a much better idea of what that demand signal looks like. And there are some reinforcement learning techniques that are coming out, specifically in the area of AI, adjacent to all this great development we've seen in the deep learning space that are manifesting themselves. And I think there's some interesting things that are going to come out of that. And finally, like, the concept of marketplaces has been around for a long time. So now, you know, Airbnb, the digital marketplace, the ability for folks to put excess capacity online where people can come and buy it, where otherwise it was not accessible. I think this is also going to be another area that we're going to start seeing manifest itself in the overarching kind of supply chain when we think about all that real estate that's out there that's being used to distribute product.
And so just kind of to go on a little bit more about this, can you tell us a bit about what cashierless stores have to do with the supply chain?
Sure. So that is an example of how at the very end, last mile, when you're having folks come into a store, Amazon's doing a really good job of figuring out how do you track people as they come in, how do you track what they're picking up off the shelf, solving problems like object occlusion, right? Like, how do I know that that person actually put that product into their digital shopping basket? Now, if you think about it, that same technology about tracking with a very fine grain of detail where products are and where things are within a given space, this is something that you can start thinking about doing within a warehouse, right? You've got these giant warehouses today where you have people that are going around picking product and then bringing it to be delivered. And finding things within a warehouse can be done more efficiently if you're also tracking them digitally. So there are methods to do this, whether it's using image recognition, RFID. There are actually some companies that are starting to use drones within warehouses, right? So how can I track what is sitting where within my warehouse? And how do I consistently do that by using something that's autonomously flying around and essentially keeping a record of where this item is? So that's the analog of taking this cashierless store, but then applying it to something like a warehouse, because you're just getting much better about tracking things within a larger space. And the benefits of this can be seen, right? If you think about companies like Ocado that are building these distribution centers and fulfillment centers that are completely autonomous in nature. So they're looking at the warehouse as a slightly different space than a typical warehouse where you have all these aisles and you've got products sitting on these massive shelves. In Ocado, you've got essentially this giant cube in the middle of the warehouse, and it's all being automatically fulfilled by machines that are kind of traversing this 3D space. So the point is, Joel, I think you're going to see this technology, specifically in image rec and just being able to spatially resolve where things are in places like warehouses. And that's going to change the efficiency of how you can find products and ship them.
Great. That actually sounds really exciting. And so, Sunil, I keep hearing about reinforcement learning. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Is that AI or is it different from deep learning? And if so, how or why?
Absolutely. The concept of reinforcement, exactly like you said, is part of this umbrella of AI. So if you think about deep learning, which is something you've probably heard a lot about in the last decade, it's what has allowed us to start understanding unstructured data in a much more efficient way than we had previously done. So with the advent of the compute capacity that we have available today, with the amount of data that we can use, and the different algorithms that we've come up with to be able to consume the data and then generate these understandings of the world, this has allowed us to now get very efficient at detecting things within images, for example, detecting objects within images. And this has happened over the last decade. We've just become more and more efficient. Now, one of the approaches to AI has been something called reinforcement learning, which is you essentially are taking what is an AI agent and putting it into an environment, and it is learning over time what the nuances of that environment are, and then it is building a strategy to maximize something within that environment. So I'll give you an example, right? So let's assume you have a manufacturer, then you have a distributor, then you have a distributor, and then you have a retailer, and then you have the consumer, you or me, that buys that product. Now, within that system, right, you have multiple entities that are creating products, distributing product, selling the product to consumers, and then actually consuming the product. The typical supply chain looks like a much more complicated version of this. But if you think about reinforcement learning, it's taking the approach of understanding how can I maximize what I am selling through this multi-tier distribution model, but at the same time minimize my cost of holding inventory at each layer, and also make sure that I retain customer satisfaction and SLAs at each tier. And historically, this has been a game of using forecasting techniques to understand, okay, what is the demand from the consumer? Okay, so if the consumer is going to need this much, that means this tier needs to have this much stock. That means the second tier needs to have this much stock, et cetera, et cetera. And you trace that all the way back to the manufacturer. What reinforcement learning does is it actually looks at that system and it looks at the way that it's behaving. It collects the data on how product is flowing through. And now you're using AI in a way where it's essentially going in and it's making decisions and trying different things to understand what the cost of its actions are. And it optimizes its approach to solving this system to minimize or maximize whatever reward that we've defined. So in this case, the reward is always make sure product is available, or always make sure that we have the right amount of inventory sitting at each layer. And then the AI model essentially learns how to make the right decisions at the right time to always keep the right inventory at each one of those layers. So a little bit of a long explanation, but this is a very specific supply chain way of using this technique. It's at the forefront of academia now, different ways of using reinforcement learning techniques to get better at forecasting. And I think just one last point I want to make on that, Google had acquired a company named DeepMind a few years ago, and they've been doing some really phenomenal work in the space. They actually released an AI that learned how to play a real-time strategy game called StarCraft. This same AI, its predecessor, was the one you probably heard about that beat Lee Sedol at Go. The name of this AI was AlphaGo. Go is a game that's much more complex than chess. And something you cannot just, you know, brute force calculate all the possible outcomes of an approach or a move in a given situation. But the point is, they have now essentially used this technique to solve extremely, extremely complex games. So we're taking that kind of technology and trying to understand how can we make this work in the real world, specifically in the supply chain domain.
Great, thank you. And thanks for those tangible examples. Really quite technical, but if I've understood correctly, then reinforcement learning in the retail space, at least, is essentially understanding how to maximize what I'm selling, how to minimize the cost, and also ensure consumer satisfaction in parallel. Is that a good enough resume?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be the tangible kind of outcomes of the approach. And it's just essentially the evolution of what we did previously, which was different forecasting techniques.
Great. Thanks so much, Sunil. And so how about capacity planning and optimization? I mean, how does this get impacted?
We were actually doing some work a little while ago with some companies that were looking at a seasonal business. So they were making a decision on, do I go in and sign a contract with a 3PL and rent out a warehouse for the next X years and sign into this lease, even though I have a highly seasonal business and my usage of that warehouse is going to vary over the next few months? Or do I make an investment in the real estate myself and I own that and I staff it myself? But what was interesting is, you know, those two decision points for most of these companies, they don't have a third option, which is I only need excess capacity for a month, or I only need it for 2 weeks, because I actually, during Black Friday or during these specific points in time, the flow of goods through my distribution network is far higher. Therefore, I need a much more elastic way of looking at how I need real estate. And that was an interesting conversation because it kind of highlights in a seasonal business for brands that maybe brand new companies that are being formed that don't have partnerships with 3PLs or that don't have warehouse space that they own, what is the model that will allow them to essentially bring their products to market but not incur the costs, the capital costs of getting into this real estate space and game, right? So the whole conversation topic here, Joel, has been, you know, companies like Flow Space and Stoga. So for those of you familiar, you know, they're looking kind of at applying the Airbnb model to warehouses. So you've got the biggest real estate owners in the United States, and I think even in Canada, are 3PLs, companies that own warehouse space, right? And it makes sense because all this product is moving every single day across the country, and it has to be stored somewhere. So what happens to that capacity when it's not being used? Is there a model that you can apply where you can essentially rent that excess capacity out in a meaningful way for the right chunks of time? And that's kind of where this marketplace for excess capacity comes into play. So we think that, you know, this space is also going to be something to look out for as you reduce the cost of entry by making available distribution space and allowing smaller companies to offer the SLAs like Amazon does, right? I think they're going to go to one-day prime very soon. So how do you compete with Amazon when you have products and you can't ship it in one day? So this kind of SLA that customers and consumers are expecting, having an ability to kind of take what exists and give it to folks that are starting new companies so that they can deliver and meet those SLAs is going to change how they can compete in this market.
And so, Sunil, if our listeners want to reach out to you to continue the conversation further, where can they find you? Are you on social media? Do you have an email address or is there a website that they can refer to?
Yes. Reach out to me. Add me on LinkedIn first and foremost. Sunil Rao, Salesforce will bring up my name. And my Twitter handle is @SunilKGRao. So feel free to follow me. I typically post about consumer goods and supply chain stuff, if not other things. So looking forward to hearing from you folks.
Fantastic. So thank you very much again, Sunil, for joining us today and for sharing your insights. Again, that was very, very interesting, and we really hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you, Joel. It was a pleasure.
And thank you very much to our listeners for tuning in to yet another episode of the End-to-End Value Chain podcast, and be sure to catch the next one. In the meantime, to listen to previous podcast episodes or for more information about the End-to-End Value Chain initiative, please visit www.tcgfvaluechain.com.